station at 5 hours and 44 minutes of remaining drive time. Message 1 of 1. Received yesterday at 3:47 p.m. Begin message text. Load assignment trip. 4191995. FE number is 0198147. Check remote. Stop. Check remote. Pick up page slash time. Consignee info. Deliver date slash time. February 16th, 18:00. 7221 International Paper Address. 2500 Southwest West.
This is Talk Is Cheap. Sorry, I dropped my recorder there while I'm driving. I'm doing this while I'm driving. Because, of course, this is news analysis from a sustainable truck driver, Proudhonian anarchist perspective. And so today, let's see if I can do this without sounding like a racist. The fact is, there are too many immigrants in this country. However, yeah, that I said it, because nobody else is going to say it, other than I know white supremacists are saying that too. However, Trumpty Dumpty's solutions are not going to work. Can't just build a wall. We know what happens to Trumpty Dumpty's wall, what will happen. And for those of you who think that deporting people is the solution. I just started rereading Grapes of Wrath. And you know, there's a scene in Grapes of Wrath where the Okies are coming across the country into California to take fruit picking jobs. And what is it about farm labor throughout history that is just a completely exploited situation? Why can't we just pay people a correct amount of money to harvest our food? But anyway, in Grapes of Wrath, the Okies are met with guns, with marshals with guns at the California border to stop them from coming, from overrunning California. So if you don't think it can happen to stupid white people, you better think again, because they've done it before and they'll do it again. And if you read the Turner Diaries, that's one of the things. You better hope you're on the right side of the Turner people, because they set up a border in the middle of the country and send everybody back east on a trail of tears in that book, which I'm not advocating that in any way. So, yeah, the problem is not immigration, the problem is our foreign economic policy. Just like, and one other thing is this argument that white people, speaking of farm labor, that white people won't take these jobs, to me that's a racist statement right there, because are you saying that Hispanic people are genetically predisposed to clean your house, and that black people are predisposed to turn your salt marsh into a cotton field? No. Some of those jobs no one should be doing, and all of those jobs should be paid a living wage. Wages usually are only 10 to 15% of a product's price, even in the most labor-intensive situations. So there must be a way to harvest our food without with paying people a decent wage, so without food prices going berserk. So, let's see, yeah, foreign, so just like The problem is, as usual, is aristocrats, corporate militarists and aristocrats are, as usual, the problem. And they pit you against one another. They pit labor against one another. The Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland, the Russians and the Irish during in the jungle, during in the meatpacking industry in Chicago, the Neufronstein crisis on Rigel 7. Hey, I'm working on it, okay? I gotta work on my delivery. Anyway, this is how aristocrats became aristocrats, mainly, is by pitting people against one another and using them as cogs in a machine and cannon fodder. That's how aristocrats come to power. So, and just as an aside, I'm recording this the day after this shooting, where we lost 17 children. Just one thing I'd like to say is, do you suppose maybe these shootings would stop if they knew that they weren't going to be flipping burgers in some dystopian Arkoff bad science fiction movie? Maybe they wouldn't shoot up a school if they thought they had an actual future in this corporate nightmare we have going. So, so again, the maquiladoro, the aristocrats are the ones that brought, the South was populated by French aristocrats. That's who the slave traders were. The reason Mexico is basically a slave colony down there is because the Spanish colonized, the Spanish imperialists colonized Mexico and turned it into a maquiladoro system, and we have expanded that with foreign direct investment, and NAFTA and these treaties have increased that to the point where if you don't want people coming into your country, overwhelming your country with cheap labor, stop exploiting the third world and the third world environment and developing nations. And I guarantee you, you will stop having an influx of cheap labor into your country. And again, this is how aristocrats became aristocrats. So moving on, let's see. Oh, all right, so what I've got for you today, this is an old lecture from 2004 that I recorded in and mixed down at Kill Radio. but this group is still active right now, and they are working with the immigrant issue right now, movement to for justice in the barrio. And I just another point I want to make is I don't quite understand this. I have nothing against Black Lives Matter, but I don't understand why these groups, we keep having to start new groups instead of going to the old one. Whenever I do an action or something, I try to find who's already working on the issue first and try to join up with them. And yes, there's some ego problems there, but yeah, there was the October 22nd coalition and Stolen Lives Project was, and I'm sure there were other groups before them, over the Black Policeman Cop Watch. All these groups have already, it's too bad we can't join these groups instead of starting new ones. What I have the feeling is the problem is, and this is the way the CIA works, the CIA has infiltrated these groups, yes, and the FBI, but what they really don't have to, the first line of defense is because no one's life has value in this corporate oligarchy that we have. Because your life doesn't have value anymore, in these groups, what I've noticed is, and I'm guilty of this too, is you have a bunch of egos in these groups, and because people are trying to make a name for themselves with these groups, which is admirable and great, but you have to put aside your ego when you join these groups, and if it's not going in the direction that you want, fine, start your own group, but try to get, you know, we have numbers. I'd like to see, what we need is a national strike with all groups, all workers, all groups together, and just have a national strike, and is what the solution. And then, and our demands will be some reining in corporate America, because this is, these guys are just out of control. All right, so yeah, that's what this lecture is. Movement for Justice in the Barrio, and they're talking about, and again, here's a corporation again. The problem is, and I just want to give you another point that I want to make, is I am a landowner myself. I'm about to pay off my house, and I will probably rent this thing out. I've worked my ass off since I was 14 years old, and I'm going to be able to pay this thing off, and I will probably rent it out. Because it's paid off, and I don't owe the bank any money, I will be able to rent it for a lower rental, and I will do that. But I still am going to need enough money to live on. So I am. There's nothing wrong with owning property, in my opinion. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with owning property. What is the accumulation of property? And in this lecture, that's what you're going to see, is it's a corporate landowners that are evicting immigrant workers. The problem is corporate landowners and some aristocratic landowners as well, is what the problem is. So, and again, if just the person that is retired and paid off their house and renting that out so they can go travel, they're not going to exploit you as much as a corporate landowner. And let's get those going, and then we'll deal with those at some point in the future. But I'm biased in this area, but I don't see a problem with owning land and renting it out. It's the accumulation of land, and there would be you know people do need to rent property until they too can save up enough money and buy their own property and then do this themselves. We used to have what are called pensions also to live on. So the problem isn't the individual landowner. It is the aristocratic landowner and the corporate landowner that exploit people. And then the rules end up passing laws that punish the individual landowners. So, and of course, banks charge too much money for landowners to make, so you're paying, the rent you're paying is going to the bank a lot of times, with money for repairs and a little bit of profit for the landowner. Not, however, in corporate land ownership. Okay, so one more thing is, at the beginning of this, I know I don't get out much, but this is one of the most amazing things I've seen. Was this girl, they put a box down for this girl, a platform, a raised platform for this girl down. And what it is I wish I could remember the name of it. It was back in 2004. It's a dance that she does in these boots, and you can tell that. And this girl was, it's a protest dance. I don't know whether it's from Spain or Mexico. I think it had to do with the Mexican Revolution. So it's this really beautiful dance that she does while singing, that starts this lecture out. And just a disclaimer here, I did edit out, there was some Spanish speakers there that I did edit out, in the interest of time, and I'm sorry, but we need English-speaking people are the one, I'm afraid. The Spanish-speaking people are well aware of the problem. It's the English-speaking people that we need. Sorry, I'm fooling around with my player here. It's the English-speaking people that we need to get involved in these problems. love sheep. Tell your friends. I just realized how that sounded. She's fully clothed, by the way.
we wanted to introduce a little bit about what our organization is all about. Our organization is made up of simple and humble people who reside in the barrio. Many of the members that you see here are tenants who are actually the founders of the organization. The organization started in December of 2004, fighting against neoliberal gentrification. At that point in the barrio, the city was facilitating gentrification that was being initiated by slumlords, by multinational corporations, and what was happening was our community was being pushed out, was being forced out of their homes. Like the compañeros there said, street vendors who were working to make an honorable living were being also kicked out of the neighborhood. Small mom and pop stores, restaurants were also being eliminated. And so it got to the point where our community got fed up and said, enough is enough, we're gonna put an end to this. And that is when we began to organize building by building, block by block. And through this organizing, we launched a campaign against one of the worst landlords in New York City, a man named Stephen Kessler, multimillionaire, white slumlord who was extremely powerful. He owned 47 buildings all in our turf, all in our neighborhood. So imagine, he was very powerful. He had this very aggressive plan to force us out. Most of our membership base are tenants who live in these 47 buildings. Therefore, we began to organize committees. In each of these buildings owned by Stephen Kessler, we formed committees. And these committees operated under the principle of autonomy, self-determination, and participatory democracy. The tenants in each building would come together and democratically vote what strategy they wanted to implement against their slumlord. The conditions that the community was facing were deplorable. They were living in apartments where the ceiling was falling on their children's heads. There was lead poisoning on the walls that the children were consuming or eating. There was no heat and hot water. These were the conditions that we were facing as a community. And we knew that this was part of Stephen Kessler's master plan to force us out of our neighborhood. There was other tactics that they were also using in an attempt to force us out, but our members decided to organize from the ground up. We launched and battled. We battled this guy for about 2 years or so, and through that, we used a multi-pronged strategy against this guy, which included protests, legal actions, marches, as the one you saw right now, and through this, we were able to achieve victory. After 2 years, the Village Voice newspaper, which is kind of like your LA Weekly, I believe, they went ahead and did this expose on Stephen Kessler. They named him one of the 10 worst landlords of New York City, and he sat down to an interview. He rarely did any interviews. So when he sits down for an interview, he says that his only headache was movement for justice in the barrio, but that he and his family, his company, had helped build East Harlem, that they had been there for decades, and that they weren't going anywhere. 3 months later, he picked up and sold his building and got out. So for us, this was a battle of David versus Goliath. For us, you know, here we have our members are predominantly immigrants of color. Many of them, as I said before, have no papers, no immigration status, and the majority of them are monolingual Spanish speaking. And so they decided to launch this battle against this guy, and he retaliated. He retaliated with death threats, threatening with bringing in immigration authorities. He had lots of tactics to retaliate against our community, but our members are fearless. The majority of our members are women, and they led the struggle. They were on the front lines every step of the way, and they weren't scared. They never panicked. They just continued struggling until they got rid of him. So here he had a situation where this white multimillionaire wanted to force us out, and instead we turned the tables on him, and immigrants of color came together and forced him out. We believe that this would not have been accomplished if it wasn't for the fact that we were very conscious that in order to make this change occur, that we needed to build leaders from the ground up. So as an organization, we're opposed to having one leader or one activist take the lead and speak for everyone else. We have an entire program in our organization dedicated to building leadership. And what that means is, for example, we have discussions around how to speak to the media, how to give a speech, how to give a public speech, how to get our neighbors involved in the fight. But at the same time, we also have really, we have a curriculum, we have a program within the organization to ensure that we're talking about what are the root causes of our struggle. We talk about capitalism, we talk about neoliberalism, we talk about the fact that this is racism at play here. We also talk about what keeps us divided as a community. We talk about how in our organization, in our communities, there are divisions at play that only benefit the capitalists. That there's racial divisions, that there's gender divisions, that there's divisions based on sexual orientation, and that in order for us to not be hypocritical when we say that we're fighting for social justice, we need to talk about that and we need to address that, because not we're being hypocrites. Therefore, we're very explicitly having these conversations within the organization, but not only just talking about it, we practice what we preach. And in this next video that we're gonna show, it's gonna demonstrate how our organization decided to build bridges beyond El Barrio, beyond El Barrio, and bring together a diverse group of people that are also fighting the same struggle. Yet it might be happening in Chinatown or in the West Village, yet at the same time we understand that we all have a common enemy, and that the only way we're going to win, the only way we're going to effectively wage this battle successfully is by bringing our communities together. So therefore, inspired by the Zapatistas, we went ahead and organized the first New York City Encuentro for Dignity and Against Gentrification. We weren't sure what kind of response we were going to have. We put out the invitations for our members. They were like, you know, if we do this, we don't want it to be activist driven. For us, one of our challenges is joining coalitions, because oftentimes a lot of organizations that are on our side of the struggle are led by professional activists or professional organizers that really don't have a base. So for us, it was essential that if we were going to organize an encuentro, that it'd be an encuentro amongst our peers, meaning the simple and humble people of New York City. So in order to do that, we had to be very careful every step of the way, because or else it could become dominated by activists. So what we did is, for example, our members were like, well, how do we do this? How do we make this happen? Well, why don't we go ahead and incorporate a piñata? Why don't we have a piñata, a neoliberal gentrification piñata that would attract families, would attract children? Why don't we have dinner on a Sunday night, not on a weeknight, like oftentimes many organizations, nonprofits, or whatever, housing groups come together during weekdays, right? During the day, because that's convenient for the paid organizer on staff. And so our members were like, that's not going to work. Most of our members, most of our community members, they are off on Sunday, if any. And usually it's in the evening. So this was like a deliberate plan to make this happen. We weren't 100% successful. We weren't 100% successful. In fact, the other thing we did was we did it through RSVP, and we issued tickets, 4 tickets, 4 organizations. So this was all part of this plan to kind of screen out all the activists. And so we did this, we accomplished some of it, right? But, you know, our members were like, you know, we don't want to meet with a bunch of activists who, like, speak a whole different language, right? Speak a whole different, like, activist language. We want to meet with our own peers. So how do you make that happen? And that was a challenge that we think to a certain extent we met. But also it was our members saying, you know, we want to meet with the African American community that's also fighting this same problem we're fighting. We want to meet with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community in the West Village that we understand is also struggling against the same system. We want to meet with the Asian community in Chinatown. We want to get to know them, and the best way we felt we could accomplish this is to have this encuentro. So this is the New York City Encuentro for Dignity and Against Gentrification.
Thank you. president, as were applied to the Nazis after World War II, that every single one of them, every last rich white one of them from Truman on, would have been hung to death and shot. And this current administration is no exception. It should be hung and tried and shot. As any war criminal should be. But the challenges that we face, they go way beyond administrations, way beyond elections, way beyond every 4 years of pulling levers, way beyond that. Because this whole rotten system has become so vicious and cruel that in order to sustain itself, it needs to destroy entire countries and profit from their reconstruction in order to survive. And that's not a system that changes every 4 years. It's a system that we have to break down generation after generation after generation after generation.
This is the Kill Radio, non-corporate, non-soundbite, non-violent empowerment news. I'm your host, DJ Susti. We've been listening to Movement for Justice in the Barrio. That's a lecture that happened here at the East Side Cafe here in El Sereno, a suburb of Los Angeles. They have a website at detodos-paratodos.blogspot.com. 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 And, okay, so that was, of course, Rage at the Coachella Festival with extra little lyrics, especially for the L.A. crowd. All right, so here, continuing on, a lot of some Spanish, but there's a Q&A coming up here that's pretty good, where people give examples of gentrification in their neighborhood, including a woman from KPFK, killradio.org, non-soundbite, non-violent, empowerment news. Thanks for listening. Send us money.
Provide heat and hot water, they cut off services, take tenants to court for no reason, and harass them. This is really a citywide problem. For example, the building that Ms. Zhang lives in, her landlord actually helped gentrify Harlem, and then came down to Chinatown and bought buildings up in Chinatown. And so these are some of the conditions that we face.
Yours is a queer youth of color organizing project. We focus more on issues in the West Village that affect us as queer youth. As some of you may know, the West Village has historically been a place, a safe place for LGBT people. The pier specifically has always been a place for LGBTs of color to hang out. And what's happening now is that there's a lot of development, redevelopment, a lot of gentrification that's going on that's pushing out LGBT youth of color.
One of the struggles that we're facing now is the remodelization of Pier 40, which is on the West Side Highway right by Houston Street. Hudson River Park Trust is thinking about reconstructing the pier, and one of the options was Vegas on the Hudson, which would build casinos, hotels, and different entertainment venues for everybody else, which would displace LGBT youth of color in the West Village.
What's unique about our struggle is that our members don't live in the village. They come from other areas in the different boroughs, some from Long Island, some are coming from Jersey, so they don't have, they're not residents there. So their voice is constantly being muffled, constantly being silenced, and they're constantly being ignored. So what we're working around homophobia, transphobia, and other forms of oppression, and mainly displacement. Because our community isn't being listened to because we're young, because we're gay, and because we're of color.
We are an organization that provides legal services to SRO tenants, and we also do tenant organizing, SRO meaning single room occupancy tenants. Our territory extends from west of Manhattan, from 14th Street to Inwood, and usually this includes, SRO usually includes boarding houses, hotels, which means tenants live in one bedroom place and they share a bathroom or a kitchen. About 100,000 units have been lost over the past several decades of SRO housing. Along with this, a great loss of public housing, public assistance, has been diminishing, the shrinking of welfare programs, and all this combines to create massive displacement and homelessness.
Everywhere we look in the Lower East Side, we see development and landlord harassment. City agencies do not enforce their own laws. Many of our members are in struggles with city agencies. Just to give you an example of how all of these issues are interconnected, the Bowery is a street of the Lower East Side which extends from 4th Street all the way down into the next neighborhood, which is Chinatown. Well, the city has refused to rezone the Bowery. It is currently commercially zoned, which means that they're going to start building hotels, expensive hotels, all the way down the Bowery. This is the mayor's program to develop New York, push us all out.
Estamos aquí para presentar una canción y también para hacer un número de teatro donde vamos a demostrar nuestro trabajo y nuestra organización en Cushman.
La renta sube mucho y a nadie le importa. El dueño amenaza que me vaya de mi casa.
Ay, Dios mío, un condominio en el frente, pobre de nuestra gente.
Lo sacan del vecindario, ya le pasó a Candelario.
La rata come todo.
El chinche chupa sangre y vive gratis, no paga renta.
El mos anda por toda la casa. Mira, tiene asma.
La basura sí apesta y el olor sí que cuesta.
La gotera, ay, la gotera. La gotera por donde quiera corriendo. Y mi marido, ay, mi marido. El agua gota, gota y el marido que me bota.
Tanta gente y el incendio no se vaya. La calefacción no trabaja y el frío no relaja.
El mos, la pintura. Ay, 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 hay plomo por toda la casa. La gotera y están chorreando y ustedes no están
bromeando. Llamo a los inspectores y no tienen traductores.
Arregla, arregla ahora, arregla ahora, arregla ahora, arregla ahora, arregla ahora.
What are the root causes, or who is the enemy?
We know that it's because of profit that landlords are doing this, but the government is also allowing them to do that.
For example, tenemos este conciencia de que el departamento de HPD no enforza las leyes como debe ser su trabajo y tiene favoritismo con los carceros ricos. Quieren sacar de las calles a los vendedores ambulantes, quieren quitar las esquinas de las pequeñas tiendas y los pequeños restaurantes que tenemos en la zona. A la zona venga gente con dinero a poner sus inversiones, sus grandes restaurantes, tiendas lujosas y todo lo que trae.
The state facilitates capital development and it also subsidizes real estate development. They're in complete contradiction to tenants' goals and rights. Because the state has these laws that are in contradiction to its own goals, they don't have an interest in enforcing them.
The money that is driving real estate, the money that is driving the gentrification that we're seeing in New York and all over the country, actually, is due to neoliberal globalization.
Neoliberalismo es el sistema económico de Estados Unidos y de todo el mundo. El sistema económico está controlado por el machismo, por hombres, mayoritariamente blancos, y nos hace víctimas a todos que somos diferentes, homosexuales, lesbianas, transexuales, indígenas, gente de color, todas las otras diferencias.
Capitalism is the idea that capitalism is free to dominate the entire world, and too bad, you have to resign yourself and conform and not make a racket. In other words, not rebel. But it is not so easy for neoliberal globalization because the exploited of each country don't conform, and they do not say, well, too bad. Instead, they rebel.
Our forms of struggle, how we fight.
Hoy en el proceso del barrio tenemos el pensamiento de que podemos representarnos por nosotros mismos. Utilizamos diferentes estrategias, llevamos a la corte, hacemos protestas, conferencias de prensa. En cada edificio formamos un comité de inquilinos y este comité de inquilinos, que son las personas afectadas, son las que toman decisiones cómo es que van a llevar su lucha, y el resto de la organización que no vive en ese edificio pues apoyamos, que no toda la comunidad es miembro de nuestra organización, entonces no podemos decidir por ellos. Entonces realizamos lo que nosotros llamamos la consulta del barrio y preguntamos a la comunidad hacia dónde debemos ir nosotros como organización. Inquilinos que se han organizado contra sus caseros, hemos ganado todos los casos y no hemos perdido hasta ahora ningún caso. Uno de los logros que tuvimos fue que un casero llamado Steven Scherzer, que tiene 47 edificios en el barrio, él dijo que nosotros no íbamos a poder con él, que teníamos que irnos de sus edificios. Cuando él se fue y vendió sus edificios, los compró una compañía que se llama Downey Davidoff. Entonces los compró esta compañía, que es internacional, intercontinental, que está por todo el mundo, en los 5 continentes, tiene propiedades, trabajando para crear relaciones con grupos de hombres que nos ayuden a luchar contra el Downey Davidoff. Todo el trabajo que he mencionado, a las decisiones que se toman para hacer este tipo de trabajo son por los miembros. No trabajamos con políticos, creemos que nosotros podemos tomar nuestras propias decisiones y que podemos representarnos por nosotros mismos. Por ejemplo, hemos tenido experiencia con Mark Viveritos, la concejal de aquí del barrio. Uno de los lo que hizo recientemente fue que quiso comprar uno de nuestros miembros.
Ellos eran enviados por la concejala. Ellos querían, ella pretendía. Me ofrecieron dinero, un sueldo, con 3 días a la semana, trabajar nada más ciertas horas y trabajar con ellos y que abandonara Movimiento por Justicia del Barrio. Yo sé que es por parte de la concejal, así es que mi respuesta es no. Dile que gracias, que tengo dignidad y que mi dignidad no tiene precio.
我们呢去要求这个不良的房东给我们开会，我们要求他们给我们维修，但是他们如果不给我们维修了，我们就不交房租，我们看租3个月，然后呢逼着房东呢答应我们给我们维修，我们呢。把房东也告上法庭，法庭发房东9000块，然后呢，房东呢没有办法，也只好赔偿我们每个住客，看租的住客3000块。
我们现在还在联同其他社区组织在争取双语服务的法案，因为我们住客有太多的问题，因为我们不能讲英文，所以需要双语服务这个法案，而且我们还是城市权利里面的一份子，我们联同在。
Basically, in the past, Ferris has had to deal with residents of the village and other people harassing our room. And basically, the pier, like we said before, is a safe area. And we actually got the pier to close at 1 a.m. instead of 10 o'clock p.m. And we are trying to work for more affordable food and housing of bathrooms on the pier. One of our new campaigns right now, we're trying to work on having a cop audit program, an ongoing program for our youth, so we can actually report to have some form of community policing for ourselves instead of having to worry about being arrested for reporting our crimes to the cops.
As a start to this, we started doing Know Your Rights training. So just in case you do get stopped by police, you know what to do and how to act and how to react when they get approached by the cops.
We've also part of some coalition, the People's Justice Coalition, which is starting. In the works of starting a citywide cop watch program, and we're also part of Right to the City. The campaign, we work on a Pier 40, Pier 45 and cop watch program. So we see abuse of police power as an enemy, and right now, HRPT, so cool.
We run and participate this illegal hotels campaign, which is fighting against the illegal conversion of SRO buildings into hotels where people can, landlords can make more money off of tourists that are coming into the city. We're also a part of Tenants United Against Harassment, which is trying to get a law in the city that will create a mechanism for tenants to defend themselves in court against all different types of harassment.
¿Qué queremos? ¿Qué queremos? Que pare el acoso.
¿Qué queremos?
Prenda justa.
¿Qué queremos?
No al desplazamiento. ¿Qué queremos?
¿Qué queremos? Vivienda saludable.
¿Qué queremos?
A la fusión. ¿Qué queremos?
Vivienda libre de asma. ¿Y cómo?
¿Y cómo?
Luchando.
Mi por el Ejército Federal Mexicano. A nosotros la gentrificación nos quiere desalojar de nuestras viviendas y a ellos, la gente con dinero, la gente con poder, les quiere quitar sus tierras en donde ellos trabajan y viven. En el video muestran cómo la comunidad se organizó y sin armas, sin violencia, cómo deshacer que el Ejército Federal se le preparara, que el Ejército Federal